for standing by, and welcome to the a2 Milk Company Limited conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation and a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to David Akers, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Kaylee. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining this call at short notice. On the line today, we have our Chief Executive Officer, Geoffrey Babich, Chief Financial Officer, Race Strauss, and Peter Nathan, our Chief Executive for Asia Pacific. Geoff will make a few introductory remarks, and then we'll take questions. Let me hand over to Geoff.
Well, look, thanks, David, and good morning, everyone. Firstly, I just hope that you are all well and keeping safe. This morning, as you're all aware, we released a statement providing an update to our outlook for FY 2021. I'd like to make a few comments relating to that, and then, of course, we'd like to take your questions. We all know that we're living and working in unprecedented times. COVID-19 and issues relating to it are causing disruptions everywhere. We called out in our original FY 2021 outlook statement that we thought COVID-19 could, amongst other things, impact our supply chains. We also noted that several issues were being experienced relating to our infant nutrition business as a result of COVID-19. We commented in August that we were seeing softness within the retail daigou segment, and in September, we commented that we had started to observe emerging additional disruption to the corporate daigou reseller channel, particularly due to the stage four lockdown in Victoria. We had not expected the significance and length of the Victorian lockdown. As a result of these issues, we are now also witnessing a contraction in the daigou channel beyond our expectations that have been factored into our budget. We now expect a soft first half, with revenue not showing growth on last year as originally expected. This expectation assumes we will, however, continue to conservatively manage our sales to ensure inventory levels within the daigou channel are in balance during the period. It's important to highlight that this all relates to a single channel logistics issue in the daigou channel, which we expect to be temporary, assuming stabilization of COVID-19 issues in Australia. Pleasingly, the performance for the rest of our business is strong. Importantly, our local China business is performing strongly, notably in the mother and baby stores segment, which we anticipate will continue. China label revenue, for example, August year to date is up 77% on PCP. We also continue to see a positive impact from the marketing investment in activation and brand-building activities in the fourth quarter of 2020. As an example, our MBS share increased significantly in August, lifting our MAT share from 2% in June to 2.2%. I think you all know that's a very large market, so that movement is significant. We've also achieved significant growth in purchase intent and trial for the brand in our latest quarter brand health tracking. These factors underpin our confidence of a significant improvement in overall group performance in the second half of the year once the disruption in the daigou channel is reduced. It's important to note that our plan for the year always assumed a softer first half and a stronger second half for revenue and earnings, even more than the historical splits that no doubt many analysts and some shareholders have assumed. That was reflecting the assumed softness at the time we did our budget from the continuing unwinding of pantry loading in July and August and softness in retail daigou, as previously mentioned. Importantly, given the strong performance in other areas of our business and the strong underlying brand health metrics and demand for our products in China, we are confident in what we can deliver in the second half of the year. I'd also like to make a comment, given, of course, that Synlait has provided their results announcement for for FY20 this morning. You may recall we mentioned that during FY20 we built inventory cover to provide a contingency in event of supply disruption from Synlait. That obviously was very important, particularly from the period of March of FY20. And Synlait worked very cooperatively with us. We both agreed it was important to build inventory to provide for contingency in event Synlait had any production issues, etc. For your information, this inventory build, which you saw in fact increased into June, but that in fact peaked in July. And we are planning to reduce our days cover progressively during FY21, and that obviously has been factored into our forward order projections with Synlait. So look, hopefully that's been a useful introduction to everyone on the call as to the background for our announcement. And happy for myself, Peter, Race, to take any of your questions. David, over to you.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll open up the call for Q&A now. The operator can please assist us in facilitating that. Can I just ask that for those asking questions, if you can please limit yourself to two questions at a time and then rejoin the queue, that would be most appreciated. Kaylee, if you can help with the Q&A, please.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Shane Cousins with JP Morgan.
Thanks, guys. It's Sean here. Just a question regarding the Daigou channel. Just regarding the first half, is it fair to say that you'd be looking for your Daigou channel business to be down some, like over 75%? You've provided some data on China label there. Could you just sort of quantify or give an indication of a range of what you see your Daigou business down based on your first half revenue guidance and what you said about China label, please?
Look, I think it's fair to say that each of you guys need to do your own work in respect of making an assumption for today. I think you're aware, Shane, obviously, that the Daigou business is an important, obviously a pretty important part of our ANZ sales. We'll call that out. Obviously, to assist everyone, the board of management determined it appropriate to put forward not only a full year revenue forecast, but also, in fact, to give some flavour to our expectation for the first half, which we provided. So I think we've been as fulsome as we can be based on what is obviously a very early part of the year. I mean, the September month is not even yet closed. We made a call that based on the trends that were emerging in September, that it was likely, we came to a view obviously just on the weekend, that what we were seeing emerging in September would continue more likely, at least for the balance of this calendar year, and that really is the reason why we determined it appropriate to make this announcement today. And as I've said, it's probably quite unusual that we've come out so early in respect of putting forward group revenue numbers, but we've done it to be as transparent as we can for all shareholders and investors. So, look, I think that's about as far as I could go on your specific point.
Okay, and maybe just secondly, just in terms of your EBITDA margin, your guidance there is a little sort of higher than the range that you sort of provided. Can you talk a little about what you've done, be it in sort of cost management, whether it's marketing, whether it's consulting spend, or whether it's losses in the United States reducing? Just curious what's sort of driving that slightly sort of improved EBITDA margin outlook, please.
Thanks, Sean. Look, I will ask Race to make comment, but I would say I think a number of you were making an assumption we'd be at the higher end of the range we previously provided. So I'm assuming that you're at least pleased that we're closer to your expectation. But, Race, if you can make some comment there.
Sure. Good morning, Shane. Yeah, look, what we've done is, as you'd appreciate, with this impact of the Daigou channel, we've looked across all of our discretionary spending, particularly in the SG&A area. We've looked across marketing to see if there are any opportunities there. And things like, outdoor, for example, which obviously with people not being outdoors at the moment. So we've taken some discretionary costs out there. We've also now had the chance to negotiate our next quarter's worth of manufacturing prices out of Synlait, which has come in slightly better than we had forecast. We've also had some positive test results from the stock provision that we'd mentioned at the full year that we were holding. So we've been able to release a little bit of that provision. So those things together have allowed us to be able to slightly lift our margin expectations from 30 to 31 to now being in the order of 31.
Hopefully that's fantastic. That's great. Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Jeff.
Our next question comes from Chelsea Ledbetter with Forsyth Barr.
Hi, team. I guess, Jeff, coming back to your comments about what was in your budget in terms of the first half, second half revenue kind of split, I'm just interested in, obviously we can see what, you know, the first half has definitely changed. I'm just interested in terms of your second half budget expectations for revenue, has that changed as well, or is it just the first half here?
Look, it's fair to say it hasn't changed very much, is what I would say. We were always assuming, as we've stated, a higher second half. And the mix has changed a little bit in respect of we're assuming higher China direct sales, for example, and we have brought back the ANZ Daigo component further than what we originally assumed, given what we currently view to be the out, you know, the position moving forward into the second half. So it is fair to say it's reasonably consistent in a total sense, but the composition has been obviously altered in light of the work that we've done in recent days. So look, it is, as you've said, Chelsea, a year of two halves. We repeat again, we had always assumed, however, that the split between first half and second half would be greater than what has been historically the case. So that was in our budget. But look, clearly, we would have, we would have liked to have exceeded first half FY20, and that was clearly in our budget, you would assume. And obviously, we're calling out that for the reasons mentioned, that appears not likely to be able to transpire.
No, I appreciate the colour. And just a second question, in terms of maybe hopefully directed to Peter here, just trying to understand behind the scenes, you know, obviously you've commented the fact that there's a lot of disruption in Daigou, et cetera. I mean, what work are you doing or what can you do in terms of moving inventory around, particularly in terms of the lockdown in Melbourne, et cetera? I'm just trying to understand, heading into the key Singles Day period, obviously, I guess the magnitude of being able to move things and change things around and reroute the supply chain, if you like.
Yeah, look, it's not as though we have bubbles in the supply chain in terms of inventory, so we don't. Right? So the fact is that there was a lot of destocking which occurred, which in areas that normally wouldn't be destocked. So what I mean by that is if you look at the second and third tier Daigos, so the smaller master Daigos, the shop fronts, the gift shops, the individual Daigos, given the extension of the lockdown, the reduction in confidence, they moved a lot of their stock through to consumers, which otherwise wouldn't have occurred where they would have been. So it's not as though we've got bubbles of inventory, just to make that clear, Chelsea. So what we are doing furthermore is we're redeploying some of our funds to run, for the first time, some incentive program directly for the corporate Daigos. One of those we ran last week. So those sort of activities, more direct sales activation, which won't destabilize price, but provide incentive for Daigo is some of the more innovative activity that we're redeploying into.
Your next question comes from Anna Guan with Wilsons.
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. My first one is on the Daigou channel, of course. So it seems like you guys are experiencing a bit of a delayed impact in this channel. I mean, looking at the ANZ infant formula growth, second half 20 was actually really solid when some of your peers were calling out the Daigou impact. And now, I guess, obviously today, you guys called out a more significant impact today. So I was just thinking, you guys mentioned you were building a bit of an inventory cover leading into first half 21. Was your corporate Daigou doing the same in second half 20, and hence the dislocation there?
Peter, would you like to take that question?
There, what we did call out was that there was some, there was clearly some pantry. So there's two separate issues. There was some pantry destocking, which occurred in the back end of the second half, and probably a little bit into the first half of F21, which was related to the, you know, the COVID impact when there was a strong expectation of a positive momentum, as we were called, straight after COVID in Feb, March. So that was a separate impact to what we then have seen. So therefore there was that element. Then there hasn't been in the first half of F21, there hasn't been a build by corporate Daigou to build inventory in anticipation of further growth. It hasn't been that. So the reverse has occurred in the first half of F21. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's helpful. Thanks, Peter.
Yeah.
And then my second question, I guess, is in regards to the guidance. So it seems like, Jeff, you sort of talked to it as well. You're sort of expecting a normal second half 21. And if the issue you guys are experiencing at the moment, that's purely, I guess, the logistical issues associated with the Daigou channel, does that mean you guys are assuming that issue is gone and hence, I guess, the assumption of a lingered COVID impact is gone from second half 21?
Well, look, I think I would say that we're assuming obviously an improvement pertaining to the Daigou channel. That is the assumption and the work that we've done in how we have recut the second half forecast now. And, you know, we've called out that the specific issues relating to the Daigou channel, particularly the corporate Daigou channel pertaining to COVID-19, we are clearly expecting that will start to improve, you know, towards the back end, you know, moving out of the end of the calendar year. Now, I mean, these assumptions are very much based on the situation that obviously COVID within Australia is brought back into control. And, you know, we're very, you know, obviously everyone is optimistic that that's going to happen in Victoria. And that's important, and that's obviously an underlying assumption in respect of our views pertaining to the second half of the stage.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Your next question comes from Marcus Curley with UBS.
Good morning, team. Just firstly, can you talk a little bit to the performance in your direct CBEC channel? Has that had any impact, so far this year in terms of what you saw second half of last year?
Look, Peter will add to that. The one thing, look, we've actually got, as you know, quite a good share in respect of CBEC. CBEC share is something that obviously we're particularly focused on as we move towards 11/11, et cetera, and Peter can talk to that. I think the one thing I would call out is that we did indicate in our June year end that we did have an inventory issue in respect of a quality issue that we were managing very conservatively, and that did relate to product that has some relevance to that channel as well. Some of that inventory is being released now, but there's been a bit of a delay. So there's a little impact of that, would I say, in respect of the short term on CBEC. Peter, what would you like to add to that question?
Yeah, well, we've been pleased with the CBEC shares. As we also indicated, there was some pantry destock which occurred from a strong selling in CBEC in the second half as well. But effectively, our share positions have been strong. There has been some variability, which has continued in our platforms. For example, JD, we've got continue to have much stronger shares in Tmall, but overall the share position has been pleasant.
And you're seeing inventory build for 11/11 in those customers?
That typically does happen from next month, so we haven't yet delivered on that, so that will not occur until October onwards.
Okay. And secondly, does this change your pricing strategy for this year, in terms of your wholesale prices?
our pricing strategy remain the same.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I think Marcus, just to further again add to the point about pricing and you know our outlook in respect or our view pertaining to the next few months, I just did want to repeat again that you know the softness of our revenue is based on the assumption that we will continue to conservatively manage our sales to ensure inventory levels within the Daigou channel are in balance during the period, and that probably also links in to the issue that obviously we continue to be focused on what happens with pricing within that channel, of course.
Our next question comes from David Errington with Bank of America.
Morning, Jeff and team. Jeff, look, I've been pounded this morning with emails, and I suppose I'm going to apologise up front for asking this question because, I'm not being rude, but this is going to give you a forum to get on the front foot and quash any innuendo. But it is factual that, you know, the management team did sell a lot of shares, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And now we've had an earnings downgrade. Can you come out and categorically say that this today was largely a sudden impact, like because of the Victorian shutdown, and it literally caught you guys by surprise as well in September? Because that's the question that I'm getting, and this gives you the opportunity to really address that elephant in the room, because that's what the innuendo is going to be flying around the market today. So can you answer that question? Because it gives you the opportunity to address it directly, because that's what's flying around at the moment in the background.
Look, David, I can understand and I respect the question that you've raised, and there's no problem with you doing that. Look, the reality is that we have been as transparent as is obviously appropriate in respect of the issues around COVID impacting on the business. And certainly at the time when share sales took place, we're obviously completely compliant with continuous improvement and the views of management in respect of the business at the time. The emerging situation in September certainly has been taking management and the board by surprise. That is the case. And it's really only been obviously in recent weeks that we've been trying to come to a view as to whether what was happening in September was something that would then continue into obviously, you know, the coming, you know, next quarter, quarter two. And the reality is we came to that view on the weekend. And so obviously on the basis of continuous disclosure, we determined it appropriate to advise today. So look, the question is very valid, and I'm being absolutely transparent in respect of the knowledge that the company has and management had in respect of the circumstances that you discussed.
So it's really only been one area, which is the corporate Daigou, which has fallen away rapidly, largely because of Victorian lockdown and other COVID issues. Is that pretty much the way to surmise today? Because if that's that's explainable. Or is there other issues? Is there other structural issues that are coming in, et cetera, et cetera?
No, we did call out that previously that there was some softness in retail Daigou and there was some pantry destocking. And we made reference to that, in fact, at the time of our release. And we had made some assumptions for that in our budget, and particularly, for example, for the months of July and August. So that was the situation. And let me say that if the September result in respect of sales, if that was, if you like, all it was, we could have probably managed through if there had been an improvement to come through into Q2 within our expectation and the market's expectation for the full year. But the reality is, September took us all by surprise as it continued to move forward. And then we had to take a view, well, what does that mean? Certainly initially for Q2, and what should be done to ensure stabilisation of that channel that's appropriate. And what I attempted to call out was, and we have had obviously not the same sort of issue in the past because we haven't had COVID and we haven't had such a, if you like, quick response that we've needed to take place. But the issue is that we, you know, we need to very carefully manage how we move forward. We're not there to maximise our sales if that in any way put any further pressure on inventory within the overall Daigou supply chain. And that therefore is reflected in the soft sales outlook that we have primarily for Q2 that's reflected in the statement that we've made.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. And I'm glad you appreciate the question and hopefully that gave you the opportunity to address it.
Your next question comes from Adam Fleck with Morningstar.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for taking my questions. I was hoping maybe we could talk a little bit about consumer behavior and what you're seeing in China. You mentioned obviously the strength in MBS and CBEC. Are you seeing demand in those channels from consumers that are making up for the disruption you're seeing in Daigou, or are you finding that consumers are more channel focused and as there's been disruption, they're just not purchasing?
Peter?
As we did call out, the pleasing thing is that the some of the brand tracking, or the brand tracking that we have done, and the latest data has only just come out last week, did indicate across all of our channels, because the brand health tracking looks at consumers across all channels, was very, very strong indeed. Record levels of awareness, purchase intent, and loyalty. So in that regard, we're still very confident about the strength of the brand, and that's why we continue to invest behind the brand. Yes, there has been movement, of course, within channels, as we've indicated, but overall, as I said, we're very buoyed by the brand health measures on metrics that we've received, and which indicates very strong brand health.
Okay, great. That's good to hear. Thanks. And then, a few times I think you've noted, obviously, you expect the disruption to corporate Daigou to be short-lived, but it seems like you're suggesting second half 21 will be largely according to budget or according to your expectations. So should we expect a rebound in that channel at some point from pent-up demand and rebuilding inventory, or should we think about this as sort of a leg down, and more moving? You've called out more moving to CBEC and MBS over time, but I guess my question is there a subsequent step up in that channel, you know, post second half 21, perhaps?
Peter?
That question is challenging to be precise about. Let's be very honest about that. Now what we are really saying is, in the current outlook, we're saying that the Daigou channel will still be below expectation that we had just probably a short period of time ago. Having said that, there is a potential scenario, and again I use the word potential, that if there was a bullwhip effect back the other way and the Daigou channel reemerged for a variety of reasons, such, say hypothetically there was COVID occurrence in China, then that would potentially be a trigger. So the extent to which the reality is, you've got to take a call on whether the extent to which the Daigou channel does reboot, there will be a significant restocking. But we're certainly not calling that as a something that we're absolutely sure about. Let's be clear about that. That we're saying that's potential, but again, we are factoring in that there will be softness in our outlook statement for Daigou in the second half.
Okay, that's good context. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Adrian Albon with Yarden.
Good morning, team. Just related to that last comment, I guess, Peter, what's the sort of strategy, given obviously the retail Daigou is probably practically gone to nil, is there any sort of strategy to sort of pursue that channel going forward? Or is it now going to give you the opportunity just to purely focus on the corporate Daigou and then obviously your direct channels into China?
The retail Daigou emergence will be a factor of pricing and margin, hence Jeff's comments about conservatively managing inventory and therefore ensuring that September is a very low sales month, really, of what we're saying, to make sure that there is that potential for Daigo margin. The second issue is the extent to which there is broad opening up of the channel, which again is a consequence of student numbers and tourists. So for argument's sake, I mean, New South Wales just announced that they'll be taking students next year. That'll clearly assist if indeed that does occur. If Victoria follows suit, then that'll also help. So there are some. So those factors are outside of our control. That second factor, the first factor in terms of managing inventory across the entire channel, is something that we clearly have a hand on a lever for. So both of those have got to occur for the Daigo channel, for the retail Daigo channel to re-emerge.
Okay. And then perhaps, maybe, can you just have some context on the China MBS? Like, obviously, a very strong August. Is that sort of underlying, or is there also quite a lot of stock into an increasing sort of distribution network? Is it possible to separate that a little bit for us?
No, it's definitely underlying strength. So as Jeff alluded to as well, there was a supply issue which sort of played into that. So we couldn't supply the extent to which we would have liked based on the product quality issue that Jeff alluded to. So if we look at all of our metrics, particularly market share, which is probably the most important, but also brand health, which I referred to, and then also ex-factory, to the extent which we have supply, well, we're very positive about it. So the underlying health is very good.
Okay, thank you.
So our next question comes from Nick Marr with Macquarie.
Hey guys, just on the demand side, you know, could you just talk about what these consumers are doing if they're, you know, maybe not purchasing through the Daigou channel? Just it seems kind of strange that, a supply issue in one channel can really impact the full kind of demand growth that you're seeing on a kind of annual basis.
Yeah, what happens is Daigou, given the fact that they have a push component, yeah, it's a very strong push component, the extent to which Daigou's, you know, either permanently or temporarily exit the market, then you are impacted by that push factor. So that does occur. Now, some consumers who are using the brand will purchase from our brand, indeed, but will purchase from other channels, be it CBEC or MBS. Others, unfortunately, may switch to another brand.
Right. And then just kind of rounding out the second half number, have you assumed any kind of catch up or restock in that, or is that kind of your, you know, sort of a steady state number for what you'd expect from now on?
That does not assume a significant restock. It assumes a degree of restock. But as I indicated, the scenario in which there was a significant momentum shift back to Daigou, we haven't factored that in these numbers.
Okay, thanks.
So in a sense, I think the way to answer that is we are making an assumption of some improvement, some stabilisation in respect of volume coming into the second half, but we're not making the assumption, to Peter's point, that if you like, we're going to catch up that volume, for example, in the second half, that is not achieved in the second quarter.
Great, that's clear.
Your next question comes from David Poppenbeek with K2 Asset Management.
Yeah, good morning. Just wondering about the 20% decline in the share price and improved COVID stats in Victoria over the last week or so. Does this ultimately mean that a buyback is potentially a viable competitor for capital management looking forward?
David, it's Race here. Look, we said previously that our capital allocation is about growth. We are directing our capital towards growth opportunities. We are directing our capital towards ensuring that we can continue to supply that growth, hence the Matara Valley due diligence work. So our capital allocation is not there for looking at buyback opportunities.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Belinda Moore with Morgans.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can I just confirm, please, you've given the full year EBITDA margin, but can I just clarify what you're thinking for the first half, please? And then also noting the improvement in the second half, but also knowing that third quarter 20 was a really big quarter where you had the pantry stocking, FX benefits, etc.
Linda, it's Ray. So look, well, we don't give EBITDA numbers by heart, but what I can tell you is that we expect our EBITDA margin to be fairly stable.
On the first half 20?
Yeah, across both first half and second half.
Oh, okay, right. So yeah. At 30% both halves. Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Peter Marks with Morgan Stanley.
Morning, guys. I'm just wondering if you're seeing any impact from competition in the Daigou channel. I know there's been a couple of new products launched, so just wondering if you think there's been an impact there. And then the second one is just on the mother and baby store revenue growth at 77% year to date. Just wondering if you could give us a split on if that's driven by like-for-like store sales growth or if you're pushing the product into a lot more stores.
Yeah, so just to answer those two. So firstly, with respect to competition, I don't know. We're not seeing anything material at all in that area. So it's fair to say probably the reverse. So I think it's most competitors are probably doing it a little tougher than we are. With respect to MBS, it's a continuation of the trend that we talked about for the full year results, in the sense we're getting good, predominantly it's on the back of very strong same store sales growth, slip there, but there is obviously some increase in distribution numbers as well, but we're predominantly driving down the same store sales area.
Would you be comfortable giving us an update on the number of stores?
Not at this point, no. Not at this point, but we are continuing to build distribution points, but we're not giving a number at this point.
Okay, thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Babbage for closing remarks.
Look, thanks very much. And look, thank you, everyone, for being available, as David said, at short notice to take the call. We very much appreciate that. Even though this announcement is not what either we would have expected or you, we do trust that you at least understand that we are obviously extremely mindful of our continuous disclosure obligations and importantly being as transparent as possible in these very unusual times. Just to reiterate, we are of the view that this short-term impact to the Daigou channel will prove to be temporary, assuming stabilisation of COVID-19 issues in Australia. I think we've given as much colour on that as we can. And as has been indicated, performance in all other areas of our business remains strong. We're continuing to achieve strong underlying brand health metrics. We are seeing strong consumer demand for our products in China. We also make reference that our liquid milk business in both Australia and the US is performing at or above plan, and we're pleased about that. So look, again, thank you very much for your attendance today. Thank you for your support, and please keep well and safe as we move forward, and look forward to having another discussion as obviously we move towards, no doubt, the annual meeting in November. So thanks very much.